Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, October the 17th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue to study all of the things that are happening around us and recognize thereby that this is the fulfillment of all that you've told us in advance. We thank you for the blessings that you continue to bestow upon us, that our hearts might embrace you and follow you closely. We ask that you would give us the strength that is necessary to remain determined to obey you in everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I'd like to begin by sharing an article with you from the New York Times. It was published on September the 28th, 2020. And of course it has direct connection to everything that we've been talking about with regard to the upcoming election. But this particular article is rather interesting in its topic. As I said before, it's in the New York Times, published September the 28th, 2020. The writer of the article is Annie Carney, K-A-R-N-I. And the title of the article is, Trump Denounces Anti-Catholic Bias, Even as He Attacks Biden's Faith. The title again, Trump denounces anti-Catholic bias even as he attacks Biden's faith. Now, of course, you and I both know that Biden is also a Catholic, a devout Catholic at that. Now, there's a subtext to that title which says, President Trump has accused Joe Biden, a Catholic, of being against God and against the Bible. Of Judge Amy Coney Barrett, he has claimed about Democrats, they're going after her Catholicism. Now that's the president talking, okay? Let me give you the source of the article again, the New York Times, published September the 28th, 2020. The title of the article is Trump Denounces Anti-Catholic Bias, Even as He Attacks Biden's Faith. Here's the article. President Trump has accused his opponent, former Vice President Joseph R. Biden Jr., of being against God, against the Bible, and essentially against religion. At the Republican National Convention, Lou Holtz, the prominent former Notre Dame football coach, called Mr. Biden, who is a practicing Roman Catholic, a Catholic in name only. But now, as Mr. Trump seeks to court Catholic voters with 5 weeks to go in the election, he and his top advisors are claiming that any discussion of Judge Amy Coney Barrett's religions is tantamount to an anti-Catholic attack as the president tries to rouse his voters by gaining a culture war with that Republicans call a woke clan on the left. At a Sunday night news conference at the White House, Mr. Trump accused Democrats of playing the religious card with Judge Barrett. His nominee to the Supreme Court, who is, of course, a devout Catholic, and who is also a mother of seven. On the religious situation with Amy, I thought we settled this 60 years ago with the election of John Kennedy, Mr. Trump said. Seriously, they're going after her Catholicism? Without evidence, the president then accused Democrats of basically fighting a major religion in our country. In a Trump campaign call with top Catholic allies on Sunday evening, Justin Clark, the deputy campaign manager, said that the new radical left has embraced the hateful and destructive tendencies of the anti-Catholicism of the past. He added that instead of terrorist organizations like the KKK, we have a woke clan launching anti-Catholic attacks. And he made clear the campaign's message to Catholic voters in the final days of the race. Our faith as Catholics is under attack, he says. So far, at least, attacks on Judge Barrett's Catholicism are not coming from top Democrats or the party's nominee. What is striking is that Mr. Trump, a man who spends Sunday mornings at the golf course and is not known as a person of faith, is passing harsh judgment on some Catholics like Mr. Biden, while in the next breath saying that such harsh judgments are wrong, at least when it comes to Judge Barrett. In an interview, Governor Phil Murphy, Democrat of New Jersey, called Mr. Trump's tactics the faith version of the Merrick Garland hypocrisy. In other words, an example of the president doing to his political opponent exactly what he claims is unacceptable if it is done to him or anyone he views as politically helpful to him. He was referring to President Barack Obama's last Supreme Court nominee, whom Senate Republicans refused to consider because they said it was a presidential election year. Mr. Murphy, a Catholic, said the weight of the debate about Judge Barrett's confirmation should be on her positions on health care, choice, and environmental protections, and not focused on her faith. But he added, you can't have it both ways. You can't come and corner the guy and question his faith and then say, on the other hand, that he is better than somebody else because of their faith. Past comments about Judge Barrett's faith from some Democrats, most infamously during her 2017 Court Appeals confirmation hearing, when Senator Dianne Feinstein claimed that the dogma lives loudly within you, have offered grist to Republicans trying to link anti-Catholic bias to the Democratic Party. But Democratic leaders and Mr. Biden's campaign, all of whom oppose Judge Barrett's confirmation, have treated Ms. Feinstein's comment as a flashing warning sign. In fact, they are being cautious to avoid coming near any discussion of her religion. Supporters of Mr. Biden said that avoiding personal questions about Judge Barrett's faith is in the coming weeks is critical. Politically, when Mr. Biden has an opportunity to make inroads with some religious voters who tend to support Republican presidential nominees. So notice what is happening here now. The real agenda of the Catholic Church, the Jesuits, and all of their organizations to take over control of America is being hidden and kept in the dark by all of this anti-Catholic accusation, so that you can't make any points like that now, because if you try to make that point out loud and show people exactly what the objective of their move is, you will be accused of being anti-Catholic. It is really a genius of an approach, because it has already silenced the Democrats and those who recognize some of what she's doing and what her objective is. It has silenced them because they don't want to be accused of being anti-Catholic. And of course, to accuse Biden and any other person, a Democrat in particular, of being anti-Catholic will only bring to the forefront those Catholics that Trump wants to support him. Continuing the article, it says this. Some conservatives even said that the Trump campaign accusations against Mr. Biden were similar to the false Republican claim tying him to fringe groups and violent protesters. It is beyond them to try and make more out of the criticism than exists, said Peter Weir. Catholic voters, a diverse group that includes some of the last remaining swing voters in the country, are being targeted by both campaigns. Particularly white Catholic voters in the industrial Midwest. Mr. Biden, who regularly makes references to God and his faith and sprinkles biblical references into his speeches, is more appealing to those voters than Hillary Clinton was 4 years ago. Polls indicate that this is so. Recent polls show Mr. Trump's advantage with white Catholics slipping compared to where it was in 2016. When they favored him by about 2-1. But the notion that Catholics are under attack could resonate with some of those voters. The president's political and his approach would appear to have a receptive audience with many of these voters. 51% of white Catholics agreed with the idea that discrimination against white people was as much of a problem today as discrimination against racial minorities, according to a Public Religion Research Institute poll in June. While no prominent Democrats have raised questions about Judge Barrett's faith since Mr. Trump announced his pick to replace Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that hasn't stopped the president or his campaign from acting as if they did. They have seized on a handful of comments from left-leaning talking heads, comedians, and former lawmakers to turn the confirmation hearings into the latest culture clash, with the goal of reducing Mr. Biden's margins among Catholic voters. The campaign pointed to comments from the comedian Bill Maher, who noted on his show that Judge Barrett was Catholic and really Catholic, he says. I mean, really, really, really Catholic. Like speaking in tongues, he said. And they flagged tweets from the MSNBC host Joy Reid and former Representative Katie Hill, comparing Judge Barrett's religion to something that is straight out of The Handmaid's Tale. The question is, where is Joe Biden in this? Said Tim McDaw, the Trump campaign spokesman. Why doesn't he condemn anti-Catholic bigotry from his party? But some conservatives said it was a stretch to connect these comments to Democratic leaders or to the party's nominee. There's a strand within the Democratic Party which is secular and hostile to faith, said Mr. Weiner. That's different from the political leadership having that position, or Joe Biden holding that position. But the Trump campaign will try and make enemies out of anyone, whether they are real or not. Now, I'm sharing this article with you today because I want you to understand how effective this is going to be now that the Catholics have pretty much total and absolute control of the administration and control of the Republican Party and control of many of the areas in government today. They have resorted to a plea and an accusation of anti-Catholic attitudes, so that now you can't even make the point that they have taken absolute and total control, because that would be seen as anti-Catholic. It really isn't an effective means to go with, so that when you are attempting to show exactly what their true agenda is, what it is they're really trying to do, they will claim that this is a religious thing that is being pulled against them, and they're being undermined because of their religion. As I said before, a very, very effective means of accomplishing the rest of what they have in mind. Continue. John Carr, the former top official of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, said it was an almost impossible job to convince a reasonable person that Joe Biden is anti-Catholic. Mr. Carr, who has endorsed Mr. Biden, added that if the Democratic Party were to demonstrate hostility to faith, family, or unborn children, they'd be in trouble with a lot of Catholics. But the Biden campaign isn't doing that, he said. The one thing that could do damage is if people allied with Biden go down that road. Trump allies said it made little difference that Democratic leaders were not engaged in attacks involving a person's faith. Once they use it, it will succeed, they said. How thrilling that Democrats have had to come out and say, we're going to leave religious bigotry on the shelf for a little while, said Tim Phillips, the president of the Americans for Posterity and conservative groups. It tells you about where you are when they have to say that. The Feinstein comment will live in infamy. Mr. Phillips blames Senate Democrats for not doing more to condemn others who were attacking Judge Barrett's faith and family, but he also declined to comment about Mr. Trump's denunciation of Mr. Biden's religion. So as I said before, this is an effective plan that they have here. If they can only accuse people of being anti-Catholic, then that gives the Catholics the room to expand and to take ultimately final control of every aspect of government and every aspect of leadership in this country. And of course, you know that that is their plan. Going back to that reading that I did for you from 50 years in the Church of Rome and that meeting at Buffalo, New York in 1852, it's clear that they have already arrived there. And now, in order to protect themselves, because it's becoming pretty evident where they are and what some of their agenda will be, now the people who might accuse them of this and attempt to show others where they're heading, they have been shut up because they don't want to be accused of anti-Catholicism or a religious war that might go on. All right, the second article is found, that first article, let me tell you where it is again. It is found in the New York Times. It was published September the 28th, 2020. It was written by Annie Carney, K-A-R-N-I, and the title of that article is Trump Denounces Anti-Catholic Bias Even As He Attacks Biden's Faith. All right? Second article we'd like to take a look at today is found in the Cruz website. Now, Cruz is a Catholic website. Cruz, Taking the Catholic Pulse, is the name of the website. C-R-U-X, Taking the Catholic Pulse. This article was published on September the 23rd, 2020. The writer of the article is Kurt Jensen, J-E-N-S-E-N. And the title of that article is Nation is Strong Because of Catholics, All People of Faith, Trump Says. Now notice the direction in which he's gone. He is now completely dependent upon the support of Catholicism. The title of the article again, Nation is Strong Because of Catholics, All People of Faith, Trump Says. Here's the article. President Donald Trump said September 23rd, he would sign an executive order to ensure that all precious babies born alive, no matter their circumstances, receive the medical care that they deserve. In brief recorded remarks for the live-streamed National Catholic Prayer Breakfast, Trump called it the Born Alive Executive Order, which pro-life leaders said would provide legal protections for babies born during botched abortions, like the Senate's proposed Born Alive Abortion Survivor Protection Act proposed would do if it passed. The Senate measure, sponsored by Nebraska Republican Ben Sasse, would require doctors under penalties of fines and imprisonment to provide the same care for a baby born alive after a failed attempt at abortion as they would for any child at the same point in its gestation. Trump's actions today provide necessary legal protections for some of the most vulnerable in society, said Jean Mancini, president of the March for Life Education and Defense Fund. These steps had to be taken, she said, because some Democrats in the Senate promised to block legislation that mandates basic medical care for children who survive an abortion, an extremist view shared by Vice President candidate Kamala Harris. Our nation is strong because of Catholics and all people of faith, and the belief that our children, all children, born and unborn, have the right to life, Trump said in his remarks to the breakfast. He called the executive order our sacrosanct moral duty. Trump was the first president to address the breakfast, held annually in Washington since 2004, since George W. Bush, who appeared at the gathering from 2005 to 2008. Attorney General William Barr, a Catholic, became the second recipient of the Breakfast Organization's Christ Fidels Award, created last year in honor and gratitude for fidelity to the Church, exemplary, selfless, and steadfast service in the Lord's vineyard. His acceptance remarks echoed a speech he had given to the University of Notre Dame in October 2019. Quote, "Times of trial have a way of reminding us how much we have to be grateful for," he said. "We carry on a tradition that goes back to the founding of the Republic. George Washington knew religion was at the heart of American government, Barr added, and the crucial link between religion and liberty, so well understood at the founding, is often misunderstood today. Well, there you go. And you notice both William Barr and the president were present at this Catholic breakfast. And of course, you know that William Barr is a Knight of Malta. He's also Opus Dei. And then you can see the direction in which these people are heading. So now not only are the Catholics supporting Trump and his administration and his cabinet, but they have found a way to protect themselves. Anybody who speaks out concerning their religion or their agenda will be accused of anti-Catholicism. And most people would not want to be so accused. And so what they're doing is they're talking about everything else except the real agenda that is obviously in their hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you have warned us about all this in advance. We look around us and we see the hand of Satan at work. Give us the strength and the courage to step forward and to do the things that are right and pleasing in your sight, and not to be afraid to speak out where truth is necessary. I pray that all of your children might gather close to your side, studying your word, looking at all of how you have warned us in advance, and make a personal commitment to walk with you and to represent you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, October the 17th, 2020.